This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. With a word of caution, this conversation will contain graphic descriptions of a police investigation. In August, an African-American teenager was found dead in the small town of Bladenboro, eastern North Carolina. 17-year-old Lennon Lacey was hanging by his neck from a swing set. Local police say Lacey killed himself, but his family says suspicious circumstances have raised questions about whether Lacey's death was a suicide or a lynching. The federal government now says the FBI will conduct its own investigation. Here with the latest is Todd Frankel. He's been following the case in Bladenboro for the Washington Post. Todd, welcome to the State of Things.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Before we get into the case itself, describe the town of Bladenboro for us.
It's a town of about 1,800 people. It's a tiny little place that, like many small North Carolina towns, used to have a booming textile industry, a big cotton mill in town, and that is closed for decades. And it's struggling, but a proud little town.
Describe the scene for us, will you, of Lennon Lacey's death?
Sure. Yeah, he was found, and this is one reason that the family was given pause by the circumstances, hanging from a playground wood swing set in the middle of a trailer park. There's 13 trailers that sort of form a rectangle around this playground area. And he was found there about 7:30 that morning, hanging from two belts in a pretty open area. And that's one thing that I think is giving a lot of people pause, that he was out in the open in such a way rather than someplace private.
And as you say, it's a trailer park, so it's not a public park, right? I mean, this was, in a sense, private property, this the trailer park?
It's private property, but you wouldn't know it was necessarily private property. The trailers are form a rectangle around the edge of it, and I guess you could, and I think I've talked to other neighborhood kids, they've played on this series of swing sets that are lined up in between. But it is an unusual place, I would think, that if he lives about a quarter mile away in a public housing community. And so there were other places. There's a dense patch of forest nearby. There's other places that perhaps you might have considered, if this was, in fact, a suicide.
All right. Well, what have police said about Lennon Lacey's death?
Police publicly have said very little. Most of this and most of the controversy has stemmed from the state medical examiner and the local coroner's finding that this was a suicide. They performed an autopsy. They performed the State Bureau of Investigation was also involved early on, and fairly quickly. Although the investigation officially remains open, there was a finding of, at least initial finding of suicide, and it's only as pressure is built in the last couple of weeks that they've emphasized that this remains open, and they have not made a formal conclusion about what happened.
All right. Well, why does his family have doubts about the suicide?
There's a series of, frankly, strange circumstances surrounding his death. The biggest thing I think that gives people pause is that he was found wearing a pair of white tennis shoes without laces that his family said he didn't own. A pair of Air Jordans that he did own are missing. One of the belts, his family said they don't recognize as being one of his belts. So the question was, where did these items come from? The day before he died, he buried his great uncle, and attended that funeral. And he was upset by that, but his mother said that he was not depressed. And the police in their medical examiner report noted that he called him depressed. And so there was some confusion there. And so the question is, additionally, he was also had recently broken up with an older white woman that he was dating. She was 31, mother of two children. And so all these things come together to raise the doubt of what exactly did happen that night when he died.
When you say one of the belts, in fact, he was hanging from two belts that were held together. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, they were canvas belts. And one of them was looped around his neck. And I mean, not to get too graphic, but the different mechanical ways that you could reach up to on the playground set in order to hang yourself, and the different people have different theories about whether this was possible or not possible. But yeah, there were two belts involved tied together to form a very long noose.
One of them, the family doesn't recognize the shoes. Am I right? The shoes, not only they don't recognize as his, but they were fairly too small, weren't they?
Yeah, they based that on photographs that they said they were too small. But yes, the family has said that he had size 12 size feet, and these shoes were actually 10 and a half. So it just didn't make any sense. And you know, talking to the local coroner, he himself said that this did not make any sense. And adding more intrigue to this whole thing is that the shoes, for whatever reason, did not make their way with the body to the state examiner's autopsy. So it's not exactly clear what happened to the shoes. So again, all these things sort of come together to raise significant doubt for a lot of people in the town.
And the reason the family is working from photographs is that the crime scene itself, or the scene of his death, let's say, was wrapped up and closed out pretty quickly, was it not?
Yeah, it was. The mother says that by the time she got there to identify the body after he'd been found a couple hours earlier, they were already wrapping up the crime scene tape. I mean, it is clear from talking to the coroner and talking to other people that they did not treat this as a crime scene initially because they quite frankly believed it was a suicide. Now, the State Bureau of Investigation was there and conducted interviews. And so, yes, I think everyone at first very much assumed that this was a suicide.
Talk about the hours just before Lennon Lacy died. He went out for a run, didn't he?
Yeah, he apparently liked to go out for runs at night when the heat and humidity were lower. He had a big football game the next day. He was supposed to play on Friday night, and he was found Friday morning. So, he went out for a run. His father last saw him, last person to see him alive, was at 10:30 that night. And like I said, he was found about a quarter mile away in this playground set. And so where he was during those other hours, no one knows. I mean, additionally, the family finds it suspicious that, you know, this playground, which was in a fairly public place, that no one saw him over, you know, those many hours that he was, you know, supposedly hanging there. And you know, additionally, and again, not to be too graphic, but the state medical examiner's autopsy report notes that there was fairly significant ant predation. He was covered in fire ants, his body was, at the end. And so he must have been out there for quite a long time before he was found.
You mentioned the fact that he had recently broken up with a white woman who was older than him. You described Bladenboro for us. Demographically, how does that town break down?
Yeah, it's 80% white and about 20% black. The white woman, she lived in the same public housing complex as the Lennon and his family did. And, you know, the time I spent there, I mean, certainly blacks and whites seemed to, there is a black part of town and a white part of town, but certainly there's, you know, Lennon had plenty of white friends. The younger people especially seemed to, you know, not pay attention to the old racial lines that perhaps, you know, an older generation might. And so it made it sort of interesting. So I did not hear anyone speak out against the idea of blacks and whites dating. But, you know, certainly the specter of that has added another level of intrigue to this incident.
We are talking about the hanging death of Lennon Lacy in Bladenboro, North Carolina, today on The State of Things. Todd Frankel is a reporter for The Washington Post. So there was a protest in Bladenboro over the weekend. Can you describe that for us?
Yeah, that was organized by the state chapter of the NAACP. And they gathered outside of First Baptist Church there in Bladenboro. Actually, there's two First Baptists, one mostly attended by whites and one mostly attended by blacks. And they gathered outside the one mostly attended by blacks there. And it was led by William Barber, who's the president of the state chapter. And they marched through the city streets. It was a peaceful march. I also covered a bit of what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, and it was a very different tenor. There was not as much anger as much as raising their voice and wanting to make sure their message was heard. The county sheriff provided security, closed down the roads so they could march safely throughout the small town. It took about 2 hours or about 300 people marching. And, you know, it seemed to be fairly well received. There weren't a lot of people out on the streets watching, but I think people felt like the message was sent and, you know, it went over quite well.
You said the NAACP, the state chapter, organized that particular demonstration. Initially, who was involved in pressuring the police and bringing attention to this case?
Actually, the state chapter of the NAACP has been involved from very early on. Actually, Lennon's mother, when she felt like local police were not listening to her and the state police as well were not listening to her, reached out to the state chapter, and they immediately put her in touch with attorneys. They hired a pathologist down in Florida to examine the state's findings, and they have been key in applying pressure on this case.
All right. And at this point, the FBI is involved. Can you tell us about their involvement? Have they begun the investigation yet?
They are being tight-lipped, not surprisingly. But it was interesting. So they announced, it came out on Friday, that the FBI was becoming involved. And the U.S. attorney for North Carolina, for the Eastern District, was saying that it was his idea. And actually, interestingly, the district attorney down in the county there was saying that it was actually his idea. So anyone who seems reticent or concerned about the FBI coming in has not spoken up. And it sounds like everyone really wants someone else to take responsibility and look at this and sort of settle some of these doubts.
All right. But is there any suggestion that state or local authorities will become more aggressive? I mean, as you say, it's still an open case. Are they any more aggressive in reexamining this case?
Not in the last couple of days that I saw. No one's mentioned that they've done re-interviews or anything like that. I think a lot of people right now seem to be waiting and hoping that the FBI will take the lead on this.
All right, Todd, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Todd Frankel is a reporter with The Washington Post. Just ahead, protests continue across the country in the wake of events in places like Bladenboro, Ferguson, and New York. We'll talk about a new era of activism on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.